Most of you know that this is the last week of a three-week series entitled Road to Restoration, which is focused on God's grace, the first part on God's prevenient grace, and the second part on God's justifying grace, and this morning on God's sanctifying grace. So I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who were disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace, in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what He has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Well, maybe you were here 2 weeks ago when we had a wreck of a car on the stage and we talked about what was required to restore such a wreck. And we talked about God's prevenient grace, how God is always reaching out to us to bring us in relationship with Him. And then we talked last week about that moment when all the effort has been made and all the time has been expended, when much money has been expended, and that car is restored. And for the first time, you get to turn that key and hear the roar of the engine. And we heard a fantastic roar of an engine last week, didn't we? And we equated that with the idea that we are justified, that we are lined up with God's grace. And we begin our road to discipleship. And that is what we're dealing with this week. Once we turn that key, what do we do next? How do we drive down that road? Well, I think it's helpful to realize that there are different types of restored cars. Some restored cars are referred to as trailer queens. There's so much time, so much effort, so much money that's been poured into the restoration that, frankly, the owner doesn't even want to start the car. It's a priceless car. So they literally push those cars on and off the trailer, and they trailer them from one city at a car show to another city at a car show. They don't even want to start them. However, some competitions require that you must start your car and drive it at least 10 yards. And that's exactly what they will do. They will start the car, they will drive it 10 yards, and they will turn the car off. Those cars are called trailer queens. Now there's another type of restored car called the Sunday-only car. It is a restored car in which there's quite a little bit of money involved, time involved in the restoration. But the car was restored to drive, but would only be driven in the right circumstances. I mean, the temperature and the humidity all have to be perfect. The owner doesn't want to drive the car out in the wet weather, or out in hot weather, or out in heavy traffic. Oh no, only on the perfect Sunday afternoon when everything just is right, they might just take that car out on the road. That's why it's called the Sunday only car. Now, there's a third classification of restored cars. They are called the daily drivers. They've been restored, not always perfectly. I mean, they look good, they're safe, they're comfortable. And the owner, frankly, is happy with them, even though they're not perfectly restored. But what the owner desires to do is to drive them. Sometimes they drive them to work. Sometimes they drive them on a road trip. Sometimes they'll just take the family out, but they will drive them. Thus, they're called the daily driver because they will get out almost every day. And a daily driver car does what a car is created to do, to be driven, to be used. So the question here this morning is, is your faith like the trailer queen? Is your faith like the Sunday only driver, which you're ready for Monday, then you can forget all the stuff on Sunday? Or is your faith like the daily driver? It's an important question to answer. I remember hearing a Christian speaker talk once about speaking at a Christian concert. And he said there were two bands at this concert, two very well-known Christian bands who played. And he said at the end of the concert, both Christian bands came out on the stage, one at one end of the stage and one at the right end of the stage, and they began to sign autographs. But he said it was like night and day between these two Christian bands. The band that was on the left side of the stage, well, they kind of had an ego. They almost couldn't be bothered by autographs. They told their fans, yes, we can sign autographs, but only for a couple minutes. Then we need to go. Matter of fact, they were rather aloof. Even one of the teens trying to get an autograph kind of got turned off by the group and said, this group is so full of themselves. But the Christian speaker went on to say, but the band that was on the other side of the stage, they in fact climbed off the stage and were sitting in the chairs and they were having one-on-one conversations with the teenagers there. And he said, I noticed that one of the band members was even praying with one of the youth that was there at that concert. And he said, it was incredible the difference. Both bands called themselves Christian bands, but they were dramatically different in how they lived out their faith. Which one was the trailer queen? Which one was the daily driver? Pretty obvious, isn't it? The trailer queen is all show but no go. The Sunday-only driver is all show and a little go. The daily driver is all go and not so worried about show. So where are we in that? How do we serve God? Remember in 1992 there were some riots in Los Angeles? Remember seeing the video of that one guy who was dragged out of his truck and beaten by the mob? I don't know if you saw the other video, but there was another guy who was dragged out of his truck, and he was Latino. He was dragged out of his truck, he was beaten by the mob, and somebody poured gas on top of him with the intent of lighting him on fire when a guy ran out of his house, Reverend Benny Newton, waving a Bible with a clerical collar on. He ran out of his house, he ran down into the street, and he laid on top of the guy and yelled at the mob, if you're going to kill him, you're going to have to kill me. With that, the mob turned away. Reverend Benny Newton then waited for the man to come to become conscious again. And then he helped him to his house, where he tried to call an ambulance, but no ambulances would come in those circumstances. So finally, he loaded him in his car and drove him to the hospital. He stayed there overnight, and then Fidel Lopez, the Latino, was released. Lopez was so thankful this pastor had saved his life that he started attending that pastor's church, and did so for a year until that pastor died. He always told that pastor, "You saved my life." All because that pastor was a daily driver in the midst of the worst circumstances of violence, of hatred, of killing. How do we live our faith in the world? We know we're called to be Christians 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We know we're to live God's will all the time. And that's what we try to do. Now, to help you understand how all three of these messages in this last three-week series come together, can you give me the screen? I want to draw for you a timeline. And this line represents your life. This is, on this end, on the left side, is the day you were born. This on the right side is the day that we die. And so this is your timeline from birth to death. And you may remember last week I talked about that time in which we finally recognize who God is and we say, "God, I want to follow you. I want to be your disciple." And at that point, we are justified. We are lined up. It may happen when we're in our 20s. It may happen when we're 79. But I'm going to put it a little early in this timeline. I'm simply going to draw a cross right here. So at that one moment in our timeline, we are dramatically changed. This, by the way, is called being justified, and we experience God's justifying grace. Now, this period on the left side is where God's prevenient grace works. We are maybe not even aware that God is reaching out to us with love, with care. We may even run from God's love. We may even be angry at God. But God is always reaching out to us. And this area in this time is called where God sends His prevenient grace upon us. But this morning, what we're talking about is this section of the timeline here, from that time when we are justified to that time in which we die. What do we do in this period of time? Because it's this time that God's sanctifying grace works on us. It's that time after we turn the key and we try to live the Christian lifestyle that God is trying to encourage us to become better and stronger Christians in all that we do. By the way, you and I are ministers. I don't know if you're aware of that. I may be ordained clergy, but we are all called to ministry. We are called to minister to the needs of others. To do good works. It doesn't mean we're saved by our works, but we are called to do good works, to find our gifts to do those good works. When I tell you name a Toyota Prius, what do you think a Toyota Prius is gifted to do? What was it created to do? Anybody know? To get good gas mileage, right? By the way, a Toyota Prius is not really gifted to run on the racetrack. Okay? Those low-friction tires designed to give it better gas mileage do not hold very well on curves. It would not be a good idea to go racing with a Toyota Prius, all right? Because it's not gifted to do that. Now, a Ford 15-passenger van, what is that gifted to do? To carry a lot of people, right? But it is not gifted to what? Get good gas mileage. Matter of fact, we have a 15-passenger van that gets about 8 to 10 miles per gallon. Okay? So different cars are gifted to do different things. Now, these are simple cars I'm mentioning, and you easily probably know the answers. I'm going to give you a tougher one. What is a Bugatti Veyron gifted to do? Were you here last service? You know about that. To go really, really fast, she said. You want to put a picture of the Bugatti Veyron up there? It is also gifted to look really nice. By the way, the cost for that car is $2.4 million. But it is street legal. Okay, so you could buy one, put it in your garage, and drive it around town. It will go 254 miles per hour. Sweet, yeah. Says the person who ran into a wall recently. So cars are designed to do different things. They're created or gifted to do different things. By the way, some cars are designed to go off-road, and some cars are designed not to go off-road, but for racetracks. And you wouldn't want to use the wrong car in the wrong situation. It just doesn't work out well. Remember, maybe it was a week or 2 weeks ago, I told you about Top Gear. There are two different versions, an English version and an American version. And this morning, I want to show just a brief clip from the USA Top Gear version in which they take a car out in the wrong circumstances. You want to roll that?
1976 Cadillac Coupe de Ville. Gentlemen, this is a sign of prestige and class, as you can plainly see.
Probably got what, 400 under the hood?
Five, my friend.
You better start buying gas cans now.
There are a few things you can do. Air conditioning doesn't work. That window doesn't go down. The glove box doesn't close. And there's a small, tiny exhaust leak.
Go big or go home. You ready?
30-point turn coming up.
Go!
He is so dead right now.
Doesn't corner very well, does it?
We had it going.
Here's a step back. The smoke check.
But Adam's reckless driving cost him.
You know what? Looks like you got 50 or 60.
Step back just a little bit.
Let me investigate.
Step back.
Oh, there it is!
It's right there!
I'm off-roading in a battleship with a trunk full of people. I'm missing the two guys I can't trust.
Two, one,
go!
Oh my gosh, he's going away!
Is it possible he's still going?
This is where he gets stuck.
Oh, he goes over the water.
Oh, come on, Adam. Throttle.
Oh,
throttle.
This is gonna be
hit it.
So bad.
Da-da-da-da-da.
Get it, Adam. Dude, the car is bent. Look at it.
Oh, was that fun?
Some of you are saying that was stupid. Of course. To take a Cadillac off-road is just crazy. Why would somebody do that? It just won't work. The car is not gifted to do that. It's not designed to do that. What a better choice would be a Jeep or a Hummer, right? In similar ways, we are gifted. We are each of us gifted and designed in different ways by God. And we have to discover what those gifts are, and then we have to utilize those gifts to minister to other people. There was a woman whose husband left her for a younger woman. This, of course, greatly depressed her. She dealt with issues of meaning of life as a result. She went to her pastor to seek some advice, and he said, well, you know, you were left with quite a little bit of money. I know you're seeking meaning in your life. Why don't you write to Mother Teresa in India and ask her if maybe you could come and serve with her and find out from Mother Teresa, maybe in working alongside her, a meaning of life. And the woman was excited by that possibility, wrote a letter to Mother Teresa. She waited and waited and waited, and no answer came. She'd always heard that Mother Teresa always personally answered her own letters. Several weeks later, though, finally there was a letter in her mailbox with a return address from India. So she quickly tore it open, and there was handwriting that said, "Find your own Calcutta, Mother Teresa." And she knew exactly what Mother Teresa was trying to tell her. She didn't need to go all the way to the other side of the world to find people who were in need. All she needed to do was look in her own community for needs and find meaning and meet those needs. This last week, many of us were greatly troubled by the marathon bombing that took place. And then by the subsequent violence and shootings, finally, where one of the guys is dead and one is captured, thank goodness. But what horrifies us is the willingness of people to take other people's lives. By the way, one of our young adults in our church, Nick Sadoff, attends Harvard. He had a friend who was watching the marathon, and his friend was badly burned by one of the blasts. We know this because Nick posted a posting to our young adult Facebook page. And he also asked for prayers for his friend's girlfriend's sister, who was so badly injured that she had to be put in an induced coma. And so Nick was asking for prayers. That event and so many others reminds us of the need for Christians to be loving and caring in a world that is often filled with hurt and violence. We are to care for others. We are to seek justice in this world. But the only way to do that is to find our spiritual gifts. You have gifts. And we invite you to experiment to find them if you already haven't. By the way, I invite you to take out of your bulletin this morning this little brochure that says Time and Talent Sheet. If you open it up, you will discover many, many, many ministries that we offer here at the church. Now, we know it's great to get involved outside the church. That's just as great. But if you're looking for a Calcutta to serve, there are many areas in here to try. And I invite you to experiment. Try an area and see whether you like it. If you don't, then you don't have to do it. Isn't that good news? Your mom didn't say you had to do it, so you don't have to do it. You can pick another area, and you can try that area. If you don't like that area, then you can try another one. Until finally, you'll do something and you'll go, yeah, you're more excited after you do it than when you started. I would guess that's where your spiritual gifts are. So experiment. And by the way, if you fill these out even today or this next week and bring them back, our volunteer coordinator has promised that she will get back to you in 3 weeks and give you a call so that she might help you to plug into a ministry. I don't know about you, but I am glad that April 15th is here and gone. Some of you are procrastinators. You probably did all your stuff on Monday. But I hate preparing taxes. My spiritual gifts are not in preparing taxes, all right? It's horrible. Now I pay somebody to do it, although I have to get all that material together. A couple years ago, I had a church member, a man in our church that I know very well and I trust very deeply, who said, "Fred, I'd be willing to do people's taxes for them." "Really?" I said. "Yeah, I'd be willing to do taxes for people who maybe can't afford a tax preparer, Or maybe you're divorced or widowed and they're just lost in all their finances. They don't know what to do next. Now, with many people in the church, I don't know you well enough to be able to trust you, but I trust this gentleman so much that I know I can trust him with somebody else's finances. Now, he's not a tax preparer, but he's very knowledgeable about finances. And guess what? He prepared 25 tax returns this season for free. And do you know how thankful people were who could not pay a preparer to do their work or were totally lost in all the material they'd been left because their husband had died and they were left alone and they didn't have the slightest idea where to start? You see, he found his Calcutta, his place where he could serve. The scripture says clearly that we are not saved by our works. But it also says clearly we were created for good works. John and Nancy Hill, a couple months ago, came to me and said, we'd like to start a new ministry at the church. We even have a name for it. We're going to call it Honeydew Ministry, as in honey do this, honey do that. And we like to, you know, if somebody can't afford house repairs or can't do the small things or are confused by it, they can give us a call. And that's what they've been doing for 2 months. They enlisted some volunteers to work alongside them. They gave me a report of what they've done so far. They set up a TV and a DVD player. How many of you need that done? You are confused by your DVD player. They replaced a lock and two ceiling light bulbs. Do you know, for some people, they can no longer climb up on a ladder. It's impossible to replace the light bulbs in the ceiling. All they need is to have somebody come over and unscrew the old ones and put in new ones. They replaced a garbage disposal. They fixed a leak in a sink. They fixed a leak in a dishwasher and in a toilet. They replaced three ceiling fans, corrected some wiring in the switches. They installed grab bars in a shower and by the toilet. They replaced a new faucet in a vanity sink. They replaced somebody's windows. They replaced a water heater. You hear, they have found their Calcutta, a place to serve. You are invited to serve with your hands. And you will find joy when you can do that. We are not called to be trailer queens. We are not called to be Sunday-only drivers. We are called to be daily drivers. What will you do today, or tomorrow, or the next day that only a Christian would do? Let us pray. Oh God, we give thanks this day that we have been restored by your grace and your mercy, that we have had that chance to turn on that key and start down that road of discipleship. We pray that you will guide us with your sanctifying grace, that you will show us how to use our gifts more effectively, that we can be a force of good and love in this world to convey your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.